are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking. We're certainly thankful that you're tuned our way, and we invite you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use us and use our broadcast to be a blessing to you today.
In the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, in the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, give me Jesus. You can have all this world. Give me Jesus. I heard my mother say, I heard my mother say, I heard my mother say, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me can have all this world. Give me Jesus. When my trials sorely press, when my trials sorely press, when my trials surely press, give me Jesus. But when I'm happy, hear me sing. When I'm happy, hear me sing. When I'm happy, hear me sing, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all. And when I am alone, oh, when I am alone, and when I am alone, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus, you can have all this world. Give me Jesus. And when I come to die,
Oh, when I come to die, and when I come to die, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, give me Jesus, you can have all this world, you can have all this world, you can have all this world, give me Jesus.
Our subject for today's broadcast, Making Wise Choices. We read in the book of Joshua, chapter 24, and verse 15, where Joshua challenged the children of Israel to choose the God that they would serve. As we grow older, we make choices every day. And there are some examples in the Bible that will help us if we let them. And I would like to call your attention to some on today's broadcast. We read in the book of Genesis 13 about how that Abraham was a rich man in cattle and in silver and in gold. We also read about Lot, and Lot was Abraham's nephew who had left Haran and traveled with him into the land of Canaan. And we're told that Lot also had flocks and herds. And I'll begin reading with verse 6 of Genesis 13. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites also dwelt in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will take the right. And if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed eastward, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And so Lot made a choice where he would live. And he journeyed then in the well-watered plains of Jordan, him, his servants, his cattle, and his family. And he chose where to live, in effect. And we want to look at just some of the results of the choice that Lot made. For he did not stay there in the well-watered plains. He looked toward Sodom, and eventually he ended up living in Sodom. And there was great consequences of the choice that he made. He was kidnapped, and Abraham took a large number of men and recovered him and others from their captivity and liberated them and brought back their goods. And he was oppressed and tormented by the ungodly citizens there in Sodom. and he lost his possessions, and the death of his wife, and incense with his daughters. Now, let's look at this a little closer for a moment. Lot, after he moved into Sodom, he had some daughters that got married, and he had also two virgin daughters that were still living with him. And his soul was vexed by the ungodly style that the Sodomites were living. And so much so that God sent angels down there to warn Lot to get out of Sodom because of the ungodly condition that was there. Lot went to his daughters, married daughters' homes to warn them, but their husbands mocked him and would not listen to him. And so finally, the angels took a hold of Lot to lead him out of Sodom. And he told them that they should not look back. And as they went out of the city, the wife did look back. And the Bible says she turned into a pillar of salt. Now the angels had told them to go into the mountains. But Lot didn't want to do that. He wanted to go into one of the neighboring little towns. And the angels gave him permission to do so. But after his wife turned into a pillar of salt, and God sent fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. There's where Lot went. He went to the mountains. But now let's look at Lot's part. He left his uncle Abraham because of the cattle that he had and servants that he had that were looking after his cattle. But when he fled out of Sodom, where were all of his cattle? Where were his servants? Where was his riches? And what did he have as he left Sodom? He had only his wife and his daughters. And I say the wife looked back, which God told him not to do, and she turned into a pillar of salt. And they went, and there they dwelt in a tunnel in a cave there in the mountains. And his daughters, his virgin daughters, got him drunk with wine, and they committed sexual relations with him, because they said that there was no man that they could have to have children, and so both of them became pregnant by their father. And so we have the consequences of the decision that Lot made. He made a very unwise choice when he left Abraham and journeyed into the plains. Oh yes, it looked beautiful. It was well watered. And doubtless there was plenty of grass there. But what was the consequences of the move that he made? Where we live has a lot to do with what kind of a life we live. Now let's look at another person, a very well-known character by the name of David. Doubtless David was one of the greatest kings, if not the greatest king, that Israel ever had. And it was customary for kings to go with their army when they went out to battle. But David chose to stay at home when he sent his army over into what today is the little country of Jordan to battle against the capital city there. And he stayed home, and he was on his second floor, out on the veranda, looking, walking around, when he saw a woman bathing. And lust conceived in his heart, and he sent one of his servants to find out who this woman was. And they came back, and they told him that this woman was Uriah's wife. And Uriah was one of his very dependable and able soldiers over there in the battle. And it wasn't long after David committed adultery with Bathsheba until she sent him word that she too was expecting a child. And David called Uriah home, trying to cover his sins. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. David sent for him on the pretense that he wanted a report from the battlefield as to how the battle was going. And of course, his purpose was to have Uriah to go home and spend the night with his wife to cover up his ungodly deed. But Uriah was a noble man, and he did not go home to his wife. He would not have the pleasure of having his wife while his fellow soldiers were over there in the battle. And David was told that Uriah didn't go home, and so David got him drunk and gave him a piece of meat, thinking that now he'll go home. But again, he spent the night there on the palace grounds and did not go home. And so David gave Uriah a message that meant his own death. Yes, he gave Uriah a message to the captain to put him up on the front of the battle, up close to the walls, so that he would be killed. And that's exactly what happened. And David then added sin to sin. Let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, and I'll begin reading here with verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, and one was rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and the little lamb grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own table, or his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, as was unto him a little daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take any of his own flock. He refused to take any of his own flock, in other words. And he sent and got his neighbor's one little ewe lamb, and he had it dressed to serve to his traveling friend. And so he took it away from the poor man's, and used it to feed his traveling friend. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and have thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such. Now dropping down to verse 10, Nathan said to David, now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives unto thy neighbors, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of thy son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And on top of that, Nathan told David that the child that Bathsheba would give birth to would die. And that's exactly what happened. Although David threw himself on the ground and fasted and prayed, asking God to spare the little one, God refused to do so. And so even David's own son tried to overthrow him and take the throne away from him. Now, choices will greatly affect our lives. Choosing Jesus Will you follow Jesus or not? What is your choice? This one decision will affect you and your life more than any other. It will determine your place in eternity. It will have a bearing on every other decision you make. If you choose to be His disciple, you will seek to do His will. Choosing a career, even from a material standpoint, your choice is important. In choosing Christ, it affected where I live and where I worked and who I married and who would be my wife and the mother of my children. I was living in North Carolina, and I made the choice to come to Hagerstown to work in His work here, and I was a single man when I came. And so it affected my work, it affected my dwelling place, it affected who I married, it affected the mother of my children, and a lot of other ways it affected my life, the choice that I made. For some, the wrong choice could lead to financial ruin or hardship. The choice can have a lasting effect on you. Your marriage and family, your service to God, make the choice to honor God first, and you will be blessed. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Make money the primary factor in your decision, and destruction could well follow. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into the foolish and hurtful lust, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. 1 Timothy 6:9-10. So consider the rich young ruler, the rich young farmer, who said he would pull down his barns and build bigger barns, and he would say to his soul, "Thou hast much goods laid up in store. Eat, drink, and be merry, and take your ease." And he heard a voice saying unto him, "Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee." And in choosing a life's mate, and this deals with our young people, this choice will determine to a great extent your degree of happiness. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, so we read in Proverbs 12:4. I still believe that Christians should marry Christians, but even they should seek the will of the Lord as to who they would who He would have them to have as their companion. True Christians will never get a divorce. I say two true Christians will never get a divorce. They will love one another, they will stay together, and God will bless them. The same thing can be said about choosing your friends. Having close friends can be a wonderful blessing. A friend loveth at all times, Proverbs 17:17. But a friend who would try to lead you away from God is not really your friend. I say one who tries to influence you wrong is not a true friend. Now, choosing where we live, we go back to Lot. That had such an important effect on his life. This may seem of little importance, but it surely was of great importance in the life of Lot. The well-watered plains appeared to be a sound business decision, but it was a poor moral choice which cost him dearly. And suggestions for making wise choices. Ask God for wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And then in Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy path. The Bible itself especially a book like Proverbs, can be help to you in making right choices, as well as various books of the New Testament. All mature Christians can also, older, I should say, instead of just old, but older mature Christians can also be a help to you if you are a young person. They have learned many things by experience, and they can help you learn things. Learn from your own mistakes also, and the mistakes of others. Responding to wrong choices, Lot fled out of Sodom. David sought God's forgiveness, and God was gracious enough to forgive him. Peter repented of his denial of Christ, and Paul accepted Christ when he realized his religion was vain and Jesus was the true Messiah. Now, the wrong thing to do, if today you are unsaved, the wrong choice is to continue in a life of sin. Christ is willing to forgive and to give you a new life in Him. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. So I say a wrong choice, if today you are unsaved, that choice to continue a life of sin is a wrong choice, and it will cost you your eternity-bound soul. May the examples such as men, Lot, David, and others teach us the importance of making wise choices. The choice Joshua did, and he said to the children of Israel, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Who you choose to serve will, I say, determine your eternal destiny. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We trust that today's broadcast has been a blessing to you. If so, why not write and let us know? Our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address is truth@fred.net, truth@fred.net. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org, www.wayoftruth.org. On our webpage, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine, or you can listen to some past broadcasts if you would like to. And you can also join us in our services as they are broadcast live over the Internet. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we'd like to invite you to tune in next week for another Way of Truth broadcast. I'm all-